Affairs will now come to order, and just word for the committee about our schedule this week. We will not meet on Friday, and today I expect to have a reasonably short day. However, we will make up for that next week. We have a pretty full schedule for next week, including some issues that I think will be pretty meaty. So that's coming up next week. Now, I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2213. For anyone who may be interested, I do want to mention that House Bill 2435 has been pulled from the schedule today. Okay, with that in mind, I'll have Kara, our committee administrator, explain briefly what this bill is about, and then we'll call our testimony forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This was requested by the Attorney General's office to modify some of the deadlines for ballot title comments and also the period of time that they have to review ballot titles in the Attorney General's office. There's some very vague language. This replaces it with some very specific language to help them out with deadlines. So Phil Schradel was here from the Department of Justice to tell us any more. Yeah. He says,
thank
yeah.
you, Mr. Schradel. If you'd come forward, please.
Chair Wilson, members of the committee, and Philip Schradel, Special Counsel to the Attorney General, and thank you for allowing me to provide testimony today. This bill was submitted on our behalf. Two pieces of this bill are just to establish explicit timelines for us to work our ballot title process from. The first change that I'm talking about there is on lines 11 and 12 of the bill. The current draft, or current language, says Secretary of State immediately shall send a copy, and we ask that that be changed to on the next business day after the deadline for submitting copies, the Secretary shall send a copy. The more precise language then makes sure that we get it the next day, leaving it to immediately. If something comes in at 4:30 the day before, Secretary of State isn't sure as to whether they need to run it over immediately. This provides us with a date certain. And all of the ballot title process is very much date-driven. 5 calendar days to draft a draft ballot title, and all of the timelines run from that. The certainty of on the next business day would very much help our processes. And in subsection 2 on line 16, we are asking that the date, the number of days that we have to prepare certified ballot titles be extended from 5 days to 10 days. And the reason for that is that with some, especially the more controversial and complex measures, we receive numerous comments. And it really stresses our staff and makes our work, I hate to say less precise than it could be. If we had a little bit more business time to address all of the comments, we could do as good a job as we possibly can in drafting certified ballot titles, which can only serve everybody's interests. If we get a better ballot title, then challengers don't have as much that they need to be worried about. The court system can process them better as well. The last change is over on lines 15 and 16 on page 2 of the bill in section 2. And it provides more precision about what is the triggering event when somebody challenges a ballot title in the Supreme Court. They are to provide notice to the Secretary of State, and this simply much more explicitly says that that notice must be received in the office of the Secretary of State. The current language, again, is much less precise. It simply says the notice shall be given. And this would provide people both who are providing that notice to the Secretary of State with a safe harbor. If they deliver it to the Secretary of State's office, they know that is a precise point, and so that we are sure, so that if there ever becomes a question about the timeliness of that notice, we have documentary evidence that we can submit to the Supreme Court to show that they were timely or weren't timely. So two of the changes are simply adding precision into the current process. The third change is extending the time for us to draft a certified ballot title, giving us 5 extra days. And those are the changes that we are proposing.
Thank you. The question that I would have initially here is, beginning with section 4 there on the back page, second page of the bill here, that seems awfully quick. It seems like a very, very quick response required by an elector. And I'm wondering what happens if that elector does not meet that deadline.
Chair Wilson, the only persons who are entitled to challenge in the Supreme Court the certified ballot title are also parties who have participated in the comment process. So they are already engaged in the process, and they know when the certified ballot title gets issued. So it is not just simply anybody out there who might have an interest. It's only people who have already been engaged in the ballot title process to that point. So while the turnaround time is fairly short, we don't propose a change to that because the overall scheme here is designed to get expeditious review all the way through the process. We aren't bringing that kind of a change to you. I don't know if that were to be proposed, whether we would take an act of opposition to it or not. That's simply not part of our proposal.
Okay. In section 3 on the back page here, line 9, one thing that I'm missing here, and that is, how is the Attorney General notified in this process of the petition filing with the Supreme Court?
Chair Wilson, we typically are served with a copy of the petition challenging, mm-hmm. and naming us as the respondent is appropriate since it's the certified ballot title that our office drafted that we're responding to.
Okay. All right. Any further questions from the committee? All right, thank you. If you wouldn't go too far away here for a moment.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. All right, next up would be Becky Miller, Oregon Taxpayers United. Welcome.
I've got some written testimony here.
Sure, if you would hand it to Jennifer there. Appreciate that. You'd identify yourself for the record, please.
Yes, I'm Becky Miller. I'm the Assistant Director of Oregon Taxpayers United, and I'm here on the request of Bill Sizemore, our Executive Director. He has asked me to come and submit his testimony to the record and read it to you, and then if you have questions for clarification on what he submitted, I'd be happy to answer those questions. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I am Bill Sizemore, writing the letter, of course, Executive Director of Oregon Taxpayers United. Oregon Taxpayers United does not oppose House Bill 2213. For complicated measures regarding which a number of interested parties file comments, the Attorney General currently does not have sufficient time to review and consider all comments received and then revise and certify a ballot title. 5 days is often not enough time. Sometimes, however, it is. If given the extra 5 days by House Bill 2213, the Attorney General should be encouraged, at least in the legislative record, to not take the extra time unless it is actually needed. Every day the Attorney General delays issuance of a certified ballot title is a day petitions are not in circulation. A number of petitions have failed to make the ballot, but would have if given another day or two, literally. Also, House Bill 2213 changes the language of ORS 250.067 regarding receipt by the Secretary of State of notice that a challenge to a certified ballot title has been filed with the Oregon Supreme Court. The policy of the Secretary of State regarding receipt of such notices in the past has bordered on the absurd. Serious cases have been dismissed by the court at the request of the Secretary of State for such trivial reasons as notice sent by certified mail was received at the Capitol mail room on time, but the mail room didn't deliver it to us until the next day, so it was too late. If notice arrives in the mail room at the Capitol on time, but at the whim of the mail room is not delivered until the next day, a challenge should not be dismissed. Finally, House Bill 2213 does something for the Attorney General, but it does nothing to cure the real problem with the process. Think about this for a moment. A petition is filed with the Secretary of State. The AG has 5 days to draft a ballot title. The public has 10 days to comment on a draft ballot title. The AG has 5 days to review the comments and certify a ballot title. Commenters have 10 days to file a challenge with the Supreme Court. Then the court takes months to decide the case. What a system. Rush, 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 rush. 5 days, 10 days, 5 days, 10 days. Then the Supreme Court sits on the case for months. 4 to 6 months is common, even though paragraph 7 of subsection 3 instructs the court to conduct their review expeditiously, they usually take several months to do so. Probably the primary reason why the court faces so many challenges to ballot titles is because they take so long to decide cases that opponents of measures file court challenges as a stall tactic. This is a problem the court has created for itself. In Washington State, ballot titles are heard and decided in Thurston County Superior Court within 5 days. Bringing a frivolous challenge before the court as a stall tactic gains opponents close to nothing in the state of Washington. In Oregon, it is a commonly used tactic. There is a much bigger problem that the extra 5 days the Attorney General, there's a much bigger problem than the extra 5 days that the Attorney General is requesting in House Bill 2213. Thanks for your consideration of my comments.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Starr.
Thank you for your testimony. Question I have, does Bill Sizemore support or oppose the measure?
He supports giving the Attorney General the 5 extra days, but we are concerned about the language that requires the challenges to be submitted to the Secretary of State by a particular day, because we have, and our opponents have, even our opponents more often than us, had comments come in by certified mail, be received on time in the mail room, and then not be delivered until the next day to the Secretary of State's office. And so because it didn't come into their office by the deadline, the case was thrown out. And we feel that that's a bureaucratic issue that really isn't fair to the public as far as getting their issues heard. So if the language was fixed in that so that, you know, when a challenge was delivered here to the building, that was considered delivered to the Secretary of State's office, then we wouldn't have a problem with that feature either. But we would like to see clarification of the language related to the time that the Supreme Court has to deal with issues, ballot title issues.
Thank you. Further questions? All right. Thank you very much. I think if we could have Mr. Schradl back, and if he could be joined by Lynn Rosick, please.
And I believe it's fine.
Oh, you signed her up.
Just questions only.
Uh-huh. I was here to be available.
The ghost of what legislator signed you up? Okay. Let me first ask the committee, any questions after what you've heard for these two folks? Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question is a logical one, and that is certified mail handled with all other mail and not expedited through any other measure out of the mailroom here in the Capitol?
That's my question.
Chair Wilson, Representative Berger, actually our mail does not come through the Capitol mailroom because it comes through the Secretary of State's own mailroom. Even though it's delivered into the Capitol, it goes through our mailroom, not the Capitol mailroom. But I'm not aware that certified mail is treated in a more expedited fashion. It's signed for there, and then it's delivered with all the other mail that is received that day. But I would point out that my understanding of the statute here is that the elector has to notify the Secretary of State in writing. It doesn't say that it has to be by certified mail. And usually on these short deadline type things, we receive almost all of our mail, all of our notices, written notices by fax, which is acceptable. The same way almost all of our comments come by fax, too, because of strict deadlines. That way you can write your comment on the afternoon of the deadline and still have it filed by 5 o'clock. So I don't know that that's really an issue.
Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Not to just split hairs, but if it comes to the Secretary of State's mailroom, that's received by the Secretary of State, isn't it? I mean, that is the point at entry into the, it does not have to actually be in the election section of the Secretary of State's office. It only has to be in the possession of one of the Secretary of State's, Secretary of State actually has a number of offices, so.
Right, right.
Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Devlin, that is my understanding. Where sometimes we get hooked into the system, if it's over in the main DAS mail place, that's not considered to be received by the Secretary of State according to the interpretations of the Supreme Court. with regard to deliveries like this. So it does need to get to the Secretary of State's office. We have a specific statute that says that any document that has to be filed with the Secretary of State must be actually received by that officer by 5 p.m. on the filing deadline. So if it's off somewhere else in the system, just like if it's at the post office or if it's at DAS, it's not at the Secretary of State's office. But yes, once it's into the system and it's date stamped into the Secretary of State's office, yes. That's my understanding.
Any further questions?
Sure.
Representative Gardner.
Ms. Rossi, you mentioned fax machines. Given the technological age we're in, does email qualify, and have you ever gotten comments via email?
Chair Wilson, Representative Gardner, we're at a point where we're a little uncertain about that. We have received some comments by email, but we don't we're not certain in working with the Attorney General's office about the status of those comments. We have the statute says that we have to have comments in writing, or that this particular document that we're talking about, the notice of the petition being filed, needs to be in writing, and we're looking at that issue. We have received some comments which we've treated as comments, but that particular issue of email comments has not gone to the Supreme Court, so the statute hasn't been interpreted as to whether that's accepted or not. So we don't advertise that email comments are acceptable because we don't know from the court whether they would consider that to be a sufficient comment.
But you haven't ever denied any that were sent by email?
Chair Wilson, Representative Gardner, no. And relatively few people have done that, but we have printed them out and put them in the stack with the other comments and sent them to the Attorney General.
Ms. Rossi, if I could ask you about the allegation made that due to glitches in mail delivery and things of that nature, sometimes people don't make the deadline and are denied. What is your experience with that personally?
Chair Wilson, it does occasionally happen. We actually have relatively few people who rely on the mails for making these deadlines. As I said, most of the communications that we receive about the ballot title process, whether they be comments or the appeals, I believe we are receiving most of them over the fax now. So that has kind of taken away the issue, the uncertainty of people trying to hit a deadline. Because they have a relatively short period of time to do it, they would have to get their comments drafted and in the mail some period of time before the deadline in order to be really certain that it would get there in time. So people, I think, we're finding are less and less apt to rely on that method. So it's been less of an issue.
Thank you. Further comments? In looking at this, I don't have a problem with much of this, but as long as we are going to be amending the statute, I think we at least need to consider the growth in technology and the ways to communicate, and perhaps should think about that a bit more before we complete work on this bill. Again, I don't really have a problem at all personally with what we're trying to do here, but I think we could do a better job of addressing today's technology as we rewrite this. So those are my thoughts. And let me just ask, do any of you have any comments about that?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I think that would be clearly possible to do and would probably be best to do solely in reference to this section of ORS, as I don't think you would want to open the door for the numerous other reports that the Secretary of State may have to receive to be sent by email before the Secretary of State's office was prepared for that eventuality.
Well, that's a good point. I agree with that
very much.
Okay, well, if there are no more comments, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 2213. And if we can do some work on that, those of you together, I appreciate that. We'll bring that back. Thank you.
Great.
All right, again, no further work before us today, but next week will be busy. I am going to try to entertain some manufactured housing issues in the middle of next week. So you'll want to be along for that, and want to try to move into some of the Secretary of State bills for the end of the week if everything is in line and ready to go. haven't really picked what the players are yet there, but we'll be working on it. Okay. If no other business to do, we will adjourn.
No meeting on Friday.
Thank you.